In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins, for the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Words of our Lord Jesus, recorded by Saint John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, at the Last Supper. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus, in this time of prayer, in this meditation, we want to pray about that important virtue of perseverance, endurance, which is part of the virtue of fortitude, that virtue of fortitude, of personal toughness, with which we confront various challenges in life. Courage, bravery gives us the strength, the moral strength to act well under fearful circumstances with the emotion of fear present. And perseverance, endurance, enables us to continue acting well when suffering perdures, during bouts of difficulty or trial that last a while. And these words of yours, Jesus, are so helpful that our perseverance, our endurance, our toughness is based on you, is based on your victory. Jesus doesn't say, in the world you'll have tribulations, but don't worry, you'll be tough enough. Don't worry, it won't be that bad. Don't worry, you'll be okay. He says, no, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer because of me. Because if you're united to me and you remember I'm with you and you're trying to be faithful to me, I'll give you the strength to get through anything. The early church had this wonderful sense of perseverance, this wonderful sense that they were called to endure. This is from the letter of St. James. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and that steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What a wonderful attitude to take towards difficulty. St. James says, count it all joy, right? Interpret it as something good. It's like our Lord. Our Lord says, in the world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer, take heart. And so our natural fallen human nature, when we have trials or tribulations, well, the reaction is negative. The reaction is anxiety, worry, fear, sadness, self-pity. And Jesus is saying, no, when you have those things, take heart, because I've overcome the world. And St. James is saying, when you suffer trials, count it as joy. Interpret it as a cause of joy. Why? Because it's good, for you. Because it is a cause of joy. Because it's an opportunity. The testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And steadfastness can have its full effect, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Jesus, help us to have this attitude. St. Jose Maria would call it a sporting spirit. A sporting spirit, a tendency to see challenges as good things, as opportunities. Count it all joy. Fear, sadness, threat. Okay, joy, joy, joy. And this is not to be falsely optimistic. This is not to be kind of a Pollyanna, wearing rose-colored glasses, seeing everything in a falsely optimistic light. Now, this is our faith. These are faith-colored glasses and hope-colored glasses and charity-colored glasses. Our faith tells us that God is in all of our trials, that nothing happens to us without at least God permitting it. And God is our strength. Quietu Deus fortitudo mea est, as we read in the Old Testament, because you, O Lord, are my strength. And so we reflect, Jesus, how do I interpret problems? How do I understand trials? Is my first reaction always to complain, to lament, to bemoan my situation? Or with faith and with the sporting spirit, do I try to see it as an opportunity? Do I see your hand behind it? This is something that God is allowing. This is something that Jesus wants to walk through and experience with me. This is where he wants me to believe that he's overcome the world and that he's all powerful. Like St. James, St. Peter, also writing to the very first Christians and obviously to all of us, all of these passages that we consider are written to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit. In his first letter, Peter writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or a wrongdoer or a mischief maker. Yet if one suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name let him glorify God. Let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful Creator." We have the wonderful example of interpreting trials, interpreting suffering in a hopeful way, in a faith-filled way. Do not be surprised at the ordeal. Do not be surprised by the persecution or by the trials that God allows or the difficulties of life, as though something strange were happening to you. And then instead of being surprised, rejoice. It's like St. James, right? Count it all joy. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Coldplay had a hit probably about 25, 30 years ago now. But they had that song where they sang, "Nobody said it was easy. Nobody said it was easy." And that song always reminded me of this passage from St. Peter. Hey, don't be surprised that life is hard. And if life weren't difficult, where would the merit be? If gaining heaven were easy, what would it really be worth? If there were no challenge to life, how would our love be tested? How would our faithfulness be tested? How would we know that we really loved if it were always easy? So we can't expect it to be easy. Nobody said it was easy. Don't be surprised by the ordeal. Jesus, give us that gift of fortitude. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit as well as a moral virtue. Come, Holy Spirit. Increase my fortitude, increase my ability to persevere. Help me to accept difficulty as a part of life and also to embrace it as something good. And help me, Jesus, to see it as a meeting place with you. This is where I really need you. This is where I really meet you as my Savior. This is where I come to really depend on you and not on myself. Precisely in trials, precisely in weaknesses, precisely in moments where I think I can't go on anymore on my own strength. Precisely when things are hardest and darkest, well, That's when we know we need a redeemer. That's when we reach out to God more urgently. That's when we experience the truth of things that Jesus says, and it's like, oh, that's pretty, or that kind of makes sense, but, you know, whatever. Right? Like Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And we can kind of know something like that theoretically. Okay, Jesus creates us, so he holds us in being, so without him we can do nothing. Or we need grace to do anything good. So yeah, I know I kind of depend on God to be good, but it's kind of invisible. But when we suffer, and especially when suffering is prolonged, and we feel like we can't go on, and we feel like we're coming to the end of our rope, and then we reach out to Jesus in our suffering and in our weakness to help us keep going. Well, those are the moments, those are the situations where we realize, oh, it's actually true that I needed him. And it's true that he's helping me. And it's true that I can rejoice because he has overcome the world. He's getting me through this. A number of years ago, I was living in Barcelona, and while I was there, I read a biography of Montserrat Grases. She was called Montse. And she was a young member of Opus Dei, a numerary member of Opus Dei. And she has a reputation for holiness. Her cause for beatification is going along well underway. And I got to preach a meditation to high school students in a chapel where her body is venerated, where she's buried in a crypt. And it's an amazing story. She died in 1959, a couple of months before her 18th birthday. And that was less than a year after she was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of bone cancer, cancer in her leg. And the remarkable thing about her life was how courageously she dealt with the pain that the cancer caused her. In the end, she couldn't walk, but for months she would still go to visit friends. She'd visit YAR, the Opus Dei Center that she would attend. And she never complained. People always remarked, they'd ask her, how are you doing? And she'd just say, good, fine, and smile. And she never lamented or complained, at least publicly, about her situation. But another member of Opus Dei, Encarnita Ortega, who also has a reputation for sanctity, one day kind of drilled down a little bit on her response. So after saying, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? And Monsi in her characteristic way said, I'm fine, don't worry. All good. Nothing to see here. Smile. And Carnita said, no, but really, how are you feeling? What kind of pain are you experiencing? And on this one occasion, Monsi opened up and she said, well, it feels like a dog is constantly biting my leg all day long. Tremendous pain, and yet she was cheerful. She was not complaining. And what was her secret? Right? How can you get to that point where you're experiencing some suffering and yet you're okay with it and you don't let it show and you're still cheerful? I count it all joy. Well, I think her secret was that she embraced the pain. She fully accepted her situation. She saw it as coming from God. She made it a way to love God and others. In short, Lord, she was doing what you were doing on the cross. Loving God, loving others, trusting God, giving yourself. And Jesus, we can do that with any situation, anything that we don't like. We can try to make it an opportunity to trust, to love. And therefore, at least in some part of our soul, therefore we can see it even as a cause of joy. and an opportunity to be joyful. St. Jose Maria writes in the Furrow, point 887. The great Christian revolution has been to convert pain into fruitful suffering and to turn a bad thing into something good. We have deprived the devil of this weapon, and with it we can conquer eternity. Pain, because of Jesus' cross, because of our own ability to carry the cross with Jesus, to be other Christs, pain has been converted into fruitful suffering, from something bad into something good. And it's important here that we control our imagination. Our imagination can help us, but it can also be our great enemy. And the imagination is a great enemy in terms of how it can aid and abet fear and anxiety. Anticipating some difficulty, our imagination often turns molehills into mountains. Something that's small and really an objectively no problem, our imagination blows up into this great trial, this great source of fear and worry. And our Lord says, relax, right? One problem at a time. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. And our fearful imagination, on the other hand, does exactly the opposite, right? What will happen if this happens? What will happen if that happens? Will I be able to handle this or that? And the answer is, who knows? We're not clairvoyants. We don't have crystal balls to see the future. That's not part of being human and being Christian. Who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how hard it's going to be? Yet our faith also says, who knows and who cares? Of course we'll be able to handle it. We won't be tempted beyond our strength, as God promises us. We won't be tested beyond our strength. Why? Because God is our strength. Quia tu Deus fortitudo mea est. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. You will have tribulations. There will be scary things. There will be difficult things. But one day at a time, let the day's trouble be sufficient for the day. I am with you always. I have overcome the world. And so that's the courage we need to persevere through uncertainty. That's the courage that we need to face the future. And that's the courage we need to endure when things actually do get difficult. But it all comes from God, right? It's this mix between, in the first place, relying on God's help, relying on trust in God's plan for me, and doing my bit, right? Doing my part to embrace, to accept, to reinterpret, to offer, right? To live through it well. With him, with his help. With you, Lord, nothing can stop us. With the patience that comes from the Holy Spirit, the perseverance that comes from the Holy Spirit, motivated by love, nothing can stop us. We can handle whatever life throws at us. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Count it all joy. Don't be surprised by the ordeal. Rather, rejoice. A wonderful example of perseverance was given to us by Cardinal Nguyen Van Thuan, 20th century bishop from Vietnam. And he was imprisoned by the communist government there in a persecution of the church. And he was a prisoner for 13 years. 9 of them were spent in solitary confinement. And he left a couple of books about his experience. And in one of them, this is what he wrote. From the very first moment of my arrest, the words of Bishop John Walsh, who had been imprisoned for 12 years in communist China, came to my mind. On the day of his liberation, Bishop Walsh said, I have spent half my life waiting. It is true, all prisoners, including myself, constantly wait to be let go, I decided then and there that my captivity would not be merely a time of resignation, but a turning point in my life. I decided I would not wait. I would live the present moment and fill it with love. For if I wait, the things I wait for will never happen. The only thing that I can be sure of is that I am going to die. No, I will not spend time waiting. I will live the present moment and fill it with love. What a wonderful Christian, holy approach to difficulties, especially to difficult situations that endure. I will live the present moment and fill it with love. And this is the danger of what St. Jose Maria called mystical wishful thinking. That when we're in a situation we don't like, we start hoping for something that is just not in the cards. Right? If only this thing changes, if only that person converts, if only this happens, if only that happens, well, then things will be good, or then I'll live my life. Or we do it with regards to the past. If only I didn't do this, if only I didn't do that, if only whatever. And that's very dangerous because we have to realize, okay, no, this is my life. My circumstances right now constitute my life. And fine, we have to discern, okay, what's God's will for me? Maybe I have some vocation still to discern. Maybe he has some plan for me. Maybe I have to change course. Right. That's fine. But at times, we have to realize, okay, this is something that I can't change right now. And therefore, I have to accept. Or this is a commitment that I've made, and it's a serious one. And so therefore, I have to live it. I have to stick to it, even though it's difficult. Or this major that I've decided to study, well, I had to give it a good chance before I change it. And I have to really see if it makes sense before I just change it because I failed one class or because one professor is difficult or whatever. Lord, help us not to be wishy-washy. Help us not to run from situations at the first time that we find them difficult, at the first sign of danger, or at the first sign of suffering, we fold up our tents and go home. Help us not, Lord, to fall into that mystical wishful thinking, waiting for something to change. Help us rather to have this beautiful attitude. No, I will not spend time waiting. I will live the present moment and fill it with love. A straight line consists of millions of little points. Likewise, a lifetime consists of millions of seconds and minutes joined together. If every single point along the line is rightly set, the line will be straight. If every minute of a life is good, that life will be holy. Again, this is from Cardinal Nguyen Van Thuan. One moment at a time. Let the day's trouble be sufficient for the day. I can live this moment of difficulty, this hour of difficulty, because God is with me, because I can accept it out of love for him. Endurance, perseverance, toughness. Lord, give us these virtues. Give us that gift of fortitude. And especially perhaps in our day and age, this is important. Many of us live in cultures of a great material comfort, a great material surplus, and that can create a real softness in us if we're not careful. And that softness will make us incapable of suffering and just multiplies our sufferings, right? Things that we should not suffer over, not give a second thought to, can become sources of pain. And this, of course, is comical. These are called first world problems. There's a genre of memes and jokes out there first world problems. I found one particularly funny on Twitter. I saw this tweet where this lady said, "Worst day ever. At Chick-fil-A has changed its barbecue sauce recipe." And then there were not one, not two, not three, but four crying river emojis following. I had to express just how devastating it was to her that Chick-fil-A, the chicken chain, changed its barbecue sauce recipe. And of course, it's tongue-in-cheek, right? She's kind of joking. But the point is well taken, right? That we can make tragedies out of little nothings because we're pampered and because we're soft and because we live kind of hedonistic, sensual lifestyles. And so if we want to get better at persevering when serious problems happen, when real trials come upon us, well, we need to practice toughness. Little things of self-denial. Maybe take a cold shower and skip breakfast someday, skip lunch. Give up scrolling for a week. Cut down on the screen time on my phone. I give up my favorite show or watching my favorite sport for a week, or relegate some of those things to the weekend. Have more time for silence. There's little things we can do to detach ourselves from pleasure and comfort, which make us tougher. And if we do them for God, well, that gives us this habit of persevering with the sense of redeeming with Christ and being united to Christ and counting on Christ's love. And so growing in perseverance, endurance, is not just waiting for some trial to come and then living through it with God, which we have to do, but it's also kind of practicing toughness along the way, right before the trial comes. Can we live a lifestyle that makes us a little bit tougher, a little bit less sensitive to trial or pain? Jesus says it, "If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross each day and come after me." Right? If anyone would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross every day and come after me. And so it's not just a matter of passively accepting the cross, but also of active picking up of the cross, active self-denial, which in the end, in the long run, makes us much tougher and much more ready to accept those bigger crosses, those bigger trials when they come. Much more ready to say yes to the opportunity to suffer with Christ, to count it all joy. Because we're already used to giving ourselves a hard time. We're already used to mortifying ourselves out of love for God and others. We go to Our Lady. Our Lady is tough. She stands at the foot of the cross. She stands because she's not fainting. She stands because she's not prostrate on the ground out of suffering. She stands because, even though it's very hard, she's accepting and she's loving. She's saying yes to what Jesus is doing on the cross. She's persevering at the foot of the cross. So we go to her, Our Lady, our mother at the foot of the cross. Pray for us. Help us, like you, to live this virtue of endurance heroically whenever necessary. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect, my Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.